May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 970. Holy Father, God of love, throned in majesty above, just and true are all thy ways, worthy of eternal praise. 970.
God to bless the reading of his words to the profit of our souls this morning. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and we'll read part of this psalm commencing at verse 105. Psalm 119 and commencing at verse 105 down to verse 152. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts, concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice, according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. May it please God to instruct us from the truth of his holy word, and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed and eternal Lord God, do grant that we may be found praying in our prayers as we have come here this morning, as we've assembled to worship the Almighty God, that one who rules and reigns, who ever was and is and ever will be, the great and holy God. Do grant, gracious Lord, that we may have some conscious realization of who we stand before, of whom we have gathered before, in whom we hope to see today, through that blessed faith which only thou canst give. We pray, Lord, that it may be a time of favor and a time of blessing for all of our souls. We pray, Lord, we may not just have gathered here this morning by a mere tradition, but Lord, may we have come with our earnest cry, thou would look upon us, thou would have mercy upon us, thou would show us thy favour, thou would bless us with a sense of thy love, of thy compassion, of thy goodness. And Lord, as we've read together the word of God, those great truths, O Lord, that the psalmist was able to pen, we pray, Lord, that we may be conscious of the wonder of those statements. And Lord, as we read, we believe the true expressions of the heart of the psalmist. And Lord, as we have read those verses, we realize in so many ways how short we come. Lord, how we fail so often in our lives. And yet, Lord, we're thankful we have such gracious words Lord, such encouraging words. Lord, such statements of truth. Such a wonderful standard which is set before us in the Word of God. And Lord, although we come and confess how far short we come, yet, Lord, may we have that true prayer that we may be found with that right and God-given desire to walk humbly, truthfully, and in accordance with those statements that we have read this morning. Oh Lord, we pray that we may be amongst the living and not amongst the dead. And we pray that our hearts may be moved by the Holy Spirit, moved unto thee, moved with that desire to do those things which are in accordance with the Word of God. We know thy Word is truth. And Lord, we pray that as we've been privileged, Lord, may we recognize the great favor it is to read the truth of God's Word. Yet, Lord, may we not have read it in a careless way. But Lord, may we have read it by the influence of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts, which directs us to realize how great is our God and how solemn is our position and condition if we ignore the truth of the Lord God. And Lord, may we be ever concerned to pray as the psalmist did, to walk in that way which is right and in accordance with the Word of God. Deliver us, O Lord, from the many, many snares the devil sets for our feet. O Lord, we think of those words we've read this morning, as the psalmist said, I hate vain words, but thy law, I hate vain thoughts, but thy word do I love. And Lord, we confess so often, we find vain thoughts welling up in our minds. Lord, give us a true hatred to such things. And then, Lord, give us a real love to thy testimonies, a love to thy word, a love to the Lord Jesus himself revealed in the Word of God. And we pray, therefore, gracious Lord, that our religion may not just be an act, but Lord, it may be that which thou hast given us in our hearts, to realize, Lord, the wonderful favor that we have been quickened, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, gracious God, we pray that every one of us here may have reason to bless God for the quickening effect of the Holy Spirit, and to stand amazed that that great Almighty God should have looked upon us in mercy and in love and has brought us into that light of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there are those here who are strangers to such an experience, who are afar off, we pray, gracious God, they may be brought nigh. They may be led to consider their ways and directed to the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And they may feel themselves indeed to be lost without any hope. And yet, Lord, may they plead the merits of the Saviour. Thou wilt look upon them, gracious God, in love and mercy. They may indeed come to know that they have a hope in what Christ has done. And so we pray earnestly, gracious God, that we look upon everyone here this morning in whatever condition we are in. And Lord, we're thankful to know we have a God who knows exactly where we are in the path of life. And Lord, where we are heading for and where we are going to. Oh, we pray, gracious God, thou wilt come then and touch our hearts. And Lord, with that true blessing that we may be found seeking after those things which are eternal. And Lord, not left to be just found seeking after those things which perish with the using. Gracious God, we come to thee this morning earnestly praying thou wilt remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and that thou wilt visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, remember us each, young and old, and everyone in between. Leave none out, we pray. We think, Lord, of the young in this day and age in which we live. Lord, we realise in some measure the many temptations which are set before the young today. And we pray, Lord, that they may know that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, that fear of the Lord, which is an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. Oh Lord, we pray that they each may be found walking in fear before their God. Lord, help them to stand firm against all the temptations of Satan. Lord, help them not to fear what their friends will say of them. Lord, the persecution that they may have to endure even when they're young. But we pray, Lord, that thou would be with them and grant they may be comforted in their hearts as they may be able to do those things which are God-honouring. And Lord, then stand by them, strengthen them and help them. And Lord, we know at this time of the year there are those examinations which they have to face and to take. And we pray, Lord, that in these things they may be conscious they need to look up to the Lord for that help, for that understanding, for that wisdom, to be able to answer the questions, well, if it could be thy will. But Lord, may they always be able to come and commit their way unto the Lord. Lord, thou knowest what is good for us each. Lord, thou knowest whether success is good or whether it's bad. And we pray, therefore, that we each may be content to receive that which is in accordance with thy will for our soul's eternal good and for the honour and glory of our God. And Lord, grant that they may be found praying unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And Lord, I stand amazed at the help and the wisdom and the understanding which they receive from the good hand of their God. And then, Lord, we pray they may be able to testify of thy favour and blessing to them in helping them in these things. Those, Lord, who perhaps may be looking forward, perhaps to a university situation, be with and instruct and guide them in these things. Those, Lord, who may be seeking jobs, Lord, grant that they may be those provisions for them. Oh, Lord, it's wonderful, Lord, to know that we have a God who's in control of everything in our lives, from the smallest thing to the greatest thing. And give us that faith, Lord, to trust in the Lord at all times. So, Lord, be with our young friends, Lord. I mean, with the parents, Lord, in these days, they need much understanding, Lord, to guide their children, to instruct them in the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, help them, Lord, to set a good and a godly example, that children may indeed be aware their parents worship the true and living God. And those who are older, Lord, those who perhaps are grandparents, perhaps those who are not privileged to have had children, Lord, may they be those who earnestly pray for the young. And Lord, that they may be as mothers in Israel, Lord, seeking the true good of the young. Oh, Lord, we pray for such. They may be burdened in their hearts to pray for the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. And so we pray, Lord, for this church and congregation. May we be gracious to them. They may be found walking in the light of thy countenance, rejoicing in what God has done, testifying of thy love and mercy towards them. And Lord, may they therefore be blessed with that wonderful privilege of dwelling together in love and unity. O Lord, do be with them, and may they seek each other's good. May they not be self-centered. May they be concerned about each other's spiritual favour and blessing, spiritual life, and also, Lord, to encourage one another. O Lord, help them then to be found exalting thy name together. We pray, Lord, for the living church of God worldwide in these days in which we live. Lord, how much darkness there is, how much evil there is. O Lord, O have mercy, we pray, especially those who suffer opposition and persecution for the truth's sake. Lord, be with, support and bless them. And all those, Lord, who have been sent to preach the gospel today, Lord, may it be a day of blessing throughout this vast world. O Lord, we look to thee, for Lord, only thou canst give the blessing. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. We pray, Lord, we may have that confidence in our God. And therefore, Lord, may there be a time of favour even today. We come to our own nation, Lord. And as we now have a new government, Lord, to rule over us, we pray, Lord, that they may be instructed by the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we know that in the last parliament, there were those many laws which were passed so contrary to the word of God. And yet, Lord, thou hast seen fit in thy good purpose to bring a government, Lord, once again into our midst. And Lord, many of those have voted so wrongly. And yet, Lord, we know that we have a God who can change hearts and change minds. Lord, we sometimes lose sight of the fact we have a great God. And so, Lord, do wonderful things for us. We pray, Lord, in this period of government that we may see the hand of our God going before us. And Lord, may we pray earnestly for the blessing of the Lord, for a time of favour, for a time of spiritual revival, if it could be thy holy will. Revival, Lord, in the hearts of thy people. Revival, Lord, to pray earnestly for the blessing of the Lord. Deliver us, Lord, from any lukewarm condition. Grant that we may be seeking then true prosperity, spiritual prosperity, so that thy great and holy name may be honoured and glorified. And so, gracious Lord, we come now. Oh, we pray our hearts may be touched. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ may be indeed lifted up, that our hearts may be drawn to him. Oh, Lord, draw us. We will run after thee. Lord, we cannot draw ourselves. But we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit may come to us today and bless us with that wonderful drawing influence which is outside of ourselves, so that we may be able to stand amazed and praise and bless our God, from whom all blessings flow. And so, Lord, come now, look upon us for good. We ask it with the forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove the seal of thy eternal love. 1074.
May it please God to bless us together this morning as we consider his word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and reading verse 117. The book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and reading verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. We've probably all read the 119th Psalm, or at least parts of it, perhaps on many occasions. And I wonder if, as we've read this psalm, we've recognised the wonderful prayers that it contains. And whether, as we've realised the psalmist's prayers, whether we, in our life, have also prayed in the same way. The verse here this morning, hold thou me up and I shall be safe, is a very wonderful prayer, a very important prayer. And I wonder if you have prayed that prayer. It's a prayer that we all need to pray continually. It's not just something which we may utter now and again. It should be our continual concern that God will hold us up, that God will support us, that God will not leave us nor forsake us. And really, it indicates to us the state of our soul, the condition of our soul, as whether we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit in our lives and are seriously concerned that Almighty God will hold us up, or whether we are unconcerned, whether we are happy in our life, happy to carry on, happy to be found walking in evil ways and wrong ways and outside of the word of God. It would be a wonderful blessing if you and I have the evidence in our hearts that such a prayer suits us. Such a prayer is our cry. Well, you must answer before God this morning whether this is your prayer, whether it has been your prayer, and whether you realize it will be your prayer, that Almighty God will hold you up. Hold thou me up. Now, it's clear from such a prayer, the psalmist was concerned that he might slip. He was concerned he might fall. And therefore he wanted God to hold him up. Are we concerned about falling, slipping? You see, to be held up is to be held up from slipping. And yet it's very, very easy to slip. And if we slip, it really references us to backsliding. You see, sliding back. Backsliding. Here was a concern that he would be held up and not left to backslide. The devil wants you and me to backslide. He wants us to go as far from God as he can get us. and if possible, to give up. And therefore, we should always be prayerfully concerned that we may not be left to backslide, that God will hold us up, because it means to backslide away from God, to slide away from God on a slippery slope. We live in a day and age when there are very many things to tempt us away from the narrow way, to tempt us to find ourselves sliding into the broad way, which is contrary to the way of God, to that way of ease. The temptation is to not follow the ways of the Lord, to not follow his statutes, and to allow ourselves a little bit of leniency, to allow ourselves some latitude in the things of God, to find ourselves travelling in the broad way, and to consider that such a position is not harmful for our souls. And we bow to the influence of the devil upon our flesh. Our flesh is very weak, and you and I will not be able to hold up ourselves. We need to learn, and the Spirit of God will teach us. We are weak. It's good when we can come and say, "No strength in self I find, yet have sought it well." Have you been concerned? Have you relied upon your own strength to keep you? My friends, the Lord will not allow that. The Lord will make us concerned, will make us realize that our strength lies in the Lord God, not in ourselves. And it may be a very painful path that we may have to walk to prove the weakness of our flesh. We're not told specifically that David wrote this psalm, but it seems very clear that he did. And David himself, of course, knew how weak he was, and how to prove it in a very solemn way, and to recognize he hadn't got any strength himself, and how he needed to be upheld, to be, pray this prayer, "Hold thou me up." Just think of David's life, you know. When David fell so sadly with that sin of adultery to Bathsheba, you may say, well, why was that? Well, the Lord permitted it. If you look at the circumstances, see, David should have been occupied in fighting the Assyrians. He shouldn't have been wandering around on his housetop at leisure without doing anything. And because of that, you see, the Lord allowed him to look upon that woman Bathsheba and desire her. We need to pray that we might be held up, hold thou me up, to be occupied and not left to leisure facilities. You know, the world we live in is a day, you know, we live in a day of leisure, don't we, in the Western world, not so much in the other parts, but in the Western world, everybody is seeking after leisure. You know, generally speaking, leisure things are not profitable. They're not blessed. We find ourselves wandering farther from God. It's good to be occupied in the things of God. If you do have time that you might categorize as leisure time, then, my friends, may we be occupied in the things of God. It is not always reading the Word of God, if it's not always praying, there's plenty of opportunity to do good. To do good unto all men, and especially unto the household of faith. To not be left then to just be found pleasing ourselves. Because if you and I please ourselves, we'll be found pleasing our flesh. David was left to please his flesh in those lustful desires to Bathsheba. And it brought him into terrible sin, not only the sin of adultery, but then the sin of murder, when he formed a plan to ensure that Bathsheba's husband would be killed, put in the forefront of the battle. And yet you see the hardness of David's heart. Left to himself, my friends, left to ourselves, our heart is hard. And therefore there is a constant need to pray a prayer like this: hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And just follow for a moment. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually, not just on the odd occasion. If David had had respect unto the Lord's statutes continually, then you see he wouldn't have fallen into that sin of adultery and murder. And so we should bless God today. The Lord has granted us gracious instruction in his word to teach us that way that we should walk in, and that way that we should go, and that we should pray constantly and earnestly. The Lord Jesus, you know, he spoke very similar words when he was on the earth. He said, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Again, a prayer that we need to pray, you know, every day. And it's very easy to forget the weakness of our flesh. It's very easy to assume that we can keep ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves. We are only kept by the power of God. You only have to look, don't you, at Peter. He thought he was strong. He thought he was able. He said he would die for the Lord. The Lord had spoken and warned him. Yes, he was strong in himself, but he wasn't strong in the Lord. And Peter had to know what it was to fall very sadly. My friends, unless the Lord keeps you and me, we shall learn by a sad experience that we cannot keep ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves. We're only kept by the power of God. And it's a painful lesson to learn. And yet we have here the gracious words of God, and that you and I may plead, that this may be our constant prayer. Now you young people, you children, don't think that the word of God is above you. The word of God is for all of us. And you young people and children, you need to pray this prayer. Hold down me up, and I shall be safe. And you will be. But you'll need to pray it from your heart. And such a prayer, let me tell you this, such a prayer is not a prayer that you will want to pray, really, naturally. Because it will deliver you from many worldly things which your heart will go after. And sometimes, bless God, the Spirit of God enables us to pray against our natural life. Our natural life wants to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you may have before you some pleasure that you want to engage in. And yet in your heart of hearts you realize, well, it's not really right. And yet you want to do it. My friends, there's that battle. And therefore you need to pray like this: hold thou me up, that you may not fall, that you may not follow a wrong way, a sinful way, an evil way. And remember today, my friends, there are so many ways. And you've got a lot of young friends who will tempt you to go on the internet and to look at wrong and evil things. You will need to pray, hold thou me up. That the Lord will give you strength to do that which is right. You see, if the Lord's holding you up, it means he's given you strength. And if the Lord holds you up, you'll be able to stand. You see, you won't then fall. You'll be safe. And it will be amazing to your understanding that God has given you strength to pray a prayer which is against what you really want to do. And it will be an evidence of the Lord's love and mercy toward you. So remember the blessed word of God here for our encouragement. Hold thou me up. David fell very sadly. And you know, David fell and he thought his sin was covered up. Do you know, you and I may fall and think our sins are covered up. We may think they haven't been discovered. We may think they've been forgotten. My friend, God notes everything in your life and my life. And in David's case, you see, David wasn't able to escape, was he? No, the Lord had mercy upon him. And my friends, if you and I have been allowed to fall, the Lord may then bring us into a situation, maybe a very embarrassing situation, but it may be a situation which clearly shows us our true condition. David was faced by Nathan the prophet. Nathan was a good man. David thought, well, this will be a time of encouragement. And, Nathan gave him this parable. And David went along with the parable and agreed with it until the Lord shot that arrow of conviction into David's heart when Nathan said, thou art the man. You see, when God convicts us, David didn't then look around to wonder who else God was speaking about. David knew that he was the guilty person. Nathan didn't have to spell it out in any more detail than that. See, when the Spirit of God works, the word has an application to our heart. And it has a real effect. And it had such a real effect upon David. And are we not thankful that he was able then to write the 51st Psalm, which explained in some detail how he felt before Almighty God. And his prayer then was, have mercy upon me, O God. And he addresses God like this, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He wasn't making any excuses. And when God convicts us, we won't make excuses. We may have thought of excuses before. We may have conjured up in our mind, well, if anybody finds out about this, I shall say this and I shall say that. And generally speaking, to cover up a sin, it means more sin. But when God points the finger, then you see, we realize we've sinned against a holy God. David says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now let us remember, when we sin against God, it's against him. When we disobey his statutes, it's against him. Well, David then realized. And he comes and he confesses, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. And he says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. That means in our heart. You see, the heart is deceived above all things and desperately wicked. David said, in prayer, he said, I hate vain thoughts. I hate vain thoughts. And so he tells us this, behold, thou desirest truth in thy inward parts. You see, it's within us God looks at. It's not as you and I appear to people. People may think, oh, there's a nice chap there, or a nice lady there, or a nice boy and girl there. They behave themselves very well, and they sit in chapel and they listen to the services. My friends, he looks at your heart. You see, what's your heart been like this morning already? We've only been in chapel here for an hour or a bit less. What have you been thinking about in chapel this morning? Where's your heart been? Have you been concentrating on the things of God? We read that part of that psalm. Did you follow it through carefully? Or was your mind everywhere, thinking about all the other things that you've done in the week and you're going to do? You see, we're only here, aren't we, for a short time. My friends, the devil wants to distract us. Be very sure of that. And so here he tells us, the psalmist gives us some indication. He tells us this, the Lord, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in our heart. It's not to pretend. I wonder this morning how many of you would go out of the chapel this morning pretending you've been a worshipper. And in fact, your heart's been very far from worshipping God. Well, if you've been a true worshipper, this prayer will be very suitable. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. That's the only place of safety, is when the Lord holds us up. And then you see, it directs us in that condition then. We are brought to come and pray to our God. And we pray to our God in this way. We seek mercy. We seek forgiveness. And we pray that we may be kept by the mighty power of God through grace unto salvation. Peter knew what it was. He'd failed, hadn't he? He'd failed, and so do you and I. We are failures. We can never say, well, I'm a great Christian, because we're only a great Christian by the power of God. And you can say, and you can thank God for his grace and for his mercy. And we should thank God for his grace and for his mercy. But to realize that we have no strength ourselves. No man can keep alive his own soul. We need the help of God. We need the support of God. And we need then, in this keeping power, to realize that it's only through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And I say that for this reason. You see, we are born in sin, as David said, and shapen in iniquity. And that's our true state before God. And that's where we are, my friends, left to ourselves. And when we realize the depth of our sin, or any real sin, if God has convicted us that we've sinned against a holy God, where are we to find mercy? How are we to find mercy? You know, mercy is welcome news indeed to those who guilty stand. You don't need mercy unless you feel guilty, do you? If you feel guilty, you need mercy. And mercy is to be found through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you and I are convinced of our sin and need and realize we need holding up, the Lord Jesus Christ will mean nothing to us. is it nothing to you or ye that pass by? Will have passed by the great truth of the gospel, and they would have meant nothing to us. But when the Lord brings us into a time of need, it is then we look up. It's then we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope. Our only hope of mercy. Our only hope of salvation. Well, what a blessing it is if we come, hold down me up. You're looking to the Lord Jesus himself. You know, I often speak those words that the Apostle Paul says, how wonderful they are. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Apostle Paul knew where his strength lay. Hold down me up. He was dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I dependent upon him today. There is safety. Safety in Christ, my friends, nowhere else. Hold down me up and I shall be safe. This 119th psalm is a wonderful psalm. It's got tremendous instruction throughout it. And as you and I read it, I'm sure we will recognise how far short we come of the expressions of desire that the psalmist is able to put forth. But I believe as the Spirit of God enables us to pray this way, hold down me up. Hold down me up that I might be able, that I may be found desiring to walk in the ways, in the desires and the prayers that the psalmist sets before us in this psalm. It's a good thing to be concerned, to be healthy in the things of God, to walk a godly life in this world. Hold down me up that we might walk a godly life, a God-honoring life. You know, again, if we look at ourselves, the past week, you know, you've been at youngsters have been at school, others have been at work, mums have been at home. Has our life been God-honoring in all that we've done and said? Have we been Christ-like in the words that we've spoken, the thoughts that we've had? You might say, well, I don't think so. Here's the remedy. Hold down me up. Hold down me up. And I shall be safe. That we might be kept. We might be enabled to seek earnestly the face of our God. That we may be able to meditate on the blessings of the gospel. Meditate upon what Christ has done. Nothing more blessed, is there? Nothing more profitable in thinking upon Christ. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your work and your scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. How do we think? What do we think of Christ? Do we desire to walk close with him? Hold down me up and I shall be safe. You see, we have such a great enemy of our souls, who constantly desires to turn us away from God. And my friends, don't forget, the devil knows each of our weak points. He knows what is attractive to your flesh and what's attractive to my flesh. And my friends, life is a battle. It's a warfare. It's a constant warfare. We'll be right down to the last breath that we breathe on this earth. The devil will never give up. He'll never give up. And therefore we need to constantly pray, hold down me up and I shall be safe. It's It's a good prayer, isn't it? Well, he goes on, you see. He prays, hold thou me up. That's a prayer. And he says then, and I shall be safe. It's a statement which we can hold on to because it's true. We're safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Underneath are the everlasting arms. There's the safety. Safety in Christ. No safety without that, my friends. And so then, with this statement, I shall be safe. And then he says, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. That really means that he desired to consider and to walk in the commands and the way of God. And that not just in a situation that he was confronted with, perhaps in a time of guilt, to then suddenly say, well, I must change and I must do this and do that. His concern was to do this continually. Continually. My friends, what a desire it is, isn't it? And oh, in the day and age in which we live, which is a very sad age, isn't it? You know, there's not much true spirituality, is there? There's not much testifying of God's goodness and favour. You know, we have that example in Malachi. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And there's a book of remembrance written. The evidence of those that feared the Lord. And it's a good statement, and it's a profitable statement. It's a blessed thing to be found in that way. He doesn't say, then those that feared the Lord spoke once a year about the things of God, or once a month, or just on a Sunday morning. But they spoke continually. And it is refreshing to the soul to speak of the things of God. Now, the devil will want to shut your mouth. Be very sure of this. He'll want you to speak nothing about the things of God. Now, you'll go out of chapel this morning, won't you? What are you going to talk about when you get outside the door? What are you going to talk about? Are you going to talk about the things of God? You know, it's not a question of ticking a box and saying, well, I've done my duty. I've sat in chapel for however long it is, and now I'm outside. And you see, those that fear the Lord, they spake often one to another. The things of God. My friends, we need this, you see. Hold down me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect continually unto thy statutes. Is that our concern? Is that our prayer? Is that our desire? Do we want to speak about Christ? Or do you want to speak about material things? Why have you come here this morning? Is it just to increase your bank balance? Well, of course it's not. What have you come here for this morning? Have you come here to hear what God the Lord will speak to your souls? You come to hear about what the Saviour's done? Do you desire to have respect unto thy statutes continually? You know, the Word of God tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength and all our being, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. May as well, I can't do that. Well, we can't by ourselves. Of course we can't. But is it our prayer that we may have respect? We are really concerned to do the statutes of God continually. This is the Word of God, my friends. It's not my words. We bless God, don't we, for his word? I hope we do. We're thankful for it. But you know, it's not to be trivialized. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be passed over and think, well, that doesn't apply to me, or well, I can't come to that, up to that standard. Well, by ourselves, we can't come up to that standard. Because we're sinful. We're fallen creatures. But oh, my friends, may the Spirit of God come into our hearts and give us that living desire, that godly desire to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, to not listen to all the words that the devil puts into our minds. Yes, it's a sad world, a sad day in which we live, generally, in the Church of God generally. You know, we've all got cars these days, haven't we? We all jump in our car and go off to our homes, but you know, in years past, you can read many accounts of people who'd walked to chapel perhaps for hours. They may have got up early in the morning and they arrived at chapel and they heard the service and they went out and they travelled, they walked home and they spoke about the things of God. And those who were seeking, they'd walk behind and they'd listen to the godly conversation of those who had benefited in their souls from the preaching of the gospel, from the reading of the word, from the singing of the hymns. And they were able to listen to that godly conversation. Well, you see, we don't hear much of it today, do we? But it's a good thing when we do. You know, when I was a boy at home, we had a godly deacon who used to come over to see my dad sometimes. And he used to come and he would talk about the things of God. He would tell us, we kids, we sat around and listened, what God had done for him. Perhaps natural things, perhaps spiritual things. And he often used to say, in effect, he wanted to have communion with Christ. And there was this heavenly conversation. And it had a drawing effect. Now you see, heavenly conversation has one of two things. It has a drawing effect, or it has a separating effect. Now, if you are concerned and desiring to pray like this, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually, you won't want godly conversation to cease. One of the saddest things is when the things that God has spoken about and people try and change the conversation. They're not interested. They want the world. Well, you and I either want the world or the things of God. We either want glory or we shall go to hell. Do we want heavenly things or do we want earthly things? In this material age, the devil wants us to concentrate on material things. Remember, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. The gracious words of God, my friends, are there for our encouragement, to direct us to spiritual mindedness, not earthly mindedness. What's this good book about? It's about heavenly things, not about earthly things. And we concern then about the life of God in our souls. Are we desirous really to know Jesus Christ and him crucified? That we might know him and love him and serve him. Hold down me up. Oh, to this end, my friends, that you and I might be found, hold down me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. You know, the previous verse, it reads this, Uphold me, similar, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. Spiritual life. He wanted to live in accordance with the word of God. The word of God, my friends, wonderful, isn't it? But it directs us in our spiritual life. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up. Well, my friends, are you ashamed of your hope? Have you a hope this morning in the mercy of God? Have you a hope that Christ has died for you? If you were asked this morning, what is your hope? What would you say? What would you say? It's not a question to be ignored. It's not a question to be passed over. What is your hope? Well, I hope you can say, my hope, remember it's personal, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That means that you have a hope that Christ has died for you to atone for your sins, and that you have a hope that his righteousness has covered your nakedness. Hope, hold thou me up. Hold thou me up, that I may have this desire, may have this evidence in my life, and I shall be safe. There will be safety in that, my friends. If you're blessed with that wonderful knowledge, you're eternally safe, but you'll need holding up every day, every moment. And I will have respect. Well, it's good, isn't it? If you and I then have a desire, blessed with this hope, blessed with this prayer, to have respect unto the Lord's statutes continually, to walk in his ways, to follow his example continually, my friends. Is that really our desire? You must answer before God, and if you're honest, you have to say, no, it's not. My friends, may it be so. May the Spirit of God come with divine power from on high and influence us, as only that Spirit can, to pray like this and to desire to walk like this, that we may honour the Lord. Those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Oh, my friends, what a blessing it is. We have a kind and gracious God who does not deal with us as our sins deserve. But because of that, should we not desire to honour him? You see, when we come before that great white throne, will we expect the Lord to say, I never knew you, depart from me? Do we desire, do we think then that the Lord will be ashamed of us? Or do we desire to know that on that great day the Lord will come in and say, come in, thou blessed of my Father? Yes, to hear that gracious, wonderful, eternal word spoken to our souls. And here we are today, on this sinful earth. And my friends, may our concern be then to walk in this way continually. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Amen.
The collection last Lord's Day amounted to £745, and on Monday for our needy cases fund to £795, for both of which we are truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting, followed by a church meeting. Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fen Stanton hold an Ascension Day special service next Thursday. Let us close with hymn 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and tears us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. 1107.
Thank you.
by the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.